Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Andy McKay joins us. The topic, autonomous vehicles. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mary Lau, Fred Larkin, and Dory Guy. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Schaff, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Schaff.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, our guest today is Andy McKay. He's the Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
The reason I wanted to have you on in particular was to talk about autonomous vehicles. And I understand there's legislation going through the Congress right now to deal with this. What's contained in the bill as it currently sits?
Now, that's a good question, Sam. And on the 27th of July, House Energy and Commerce Committee, they created a subcommittee, and it's, for what it's worth, House Resolution 3388 with the riveting title of the Safely Ensuring Lives Future Deployment and Research in Vehicle Evolution Act, also known as the Self-Drive Act. And what it is in a nutshell is Congress has taken the reins, so to speak, and they are preempting states' abilities to get their regulatory mitts on this industry. And the reason being is they don't want to have 50 different sets of standards that the manufacturers and the programmers on highly autonomous vehicles would have to go through. In markup and in the process of putting the bill together, there were some kind of unintended consequences initially, and part of them were certain preemptions of state just motor vehicle laws and franchise laws relative to automobile dealers. Those have been trued up and fixed. Bill's working its way through the House probably first to second week in August. Probably second week in August, pardon me, is when full week, I should say, is when Senate will probably move something out. Senator Thune from North Dakota has kind of taken the lead on it. But it's moving fast.
That's a good person to have in charge.
Yes, absolutely.
Senator Thune, you know, former governor, is a quite a remarkable figure. Let me ask you this. You know, as people are making decisions now about purchasing automobiles of varying kinds, mm-hmm. What should they bear in mind in terms of autonomous vehicles? I mean, should they be looking at something that they're going to purchase, you know, because normally it's what, about a 10-year, 11-year cycle for automobiles before people replace them?
It's right now it's about 12.
12, okay. Mm-hmm. But that's likely to move up, isn't it, as the economy improves?
No, not necessarily. And the reason is, Sam, is in fact, when you look in terms of 2016 automobile sales, second highest on record, with the exception of, I believe it was 2007, right before the crash. What you saw is a significant chunk of people turning in their vehicles. A lot of people were keeping vehicles longer just because of the fact that, and this is a good thing, people weren't extending themselves out too far. So they kept the vehicles longer than what they traditionally would. But the other thing is what you're seeing on that glide path, for lack of a better term, in the length of the vehicles and services, because the manufacturers now make a tremendous product. There's no such thing as a bad car. I mean, a car with 100,000 miles today, it's just broken in. It's not like it was 25 years ago. So to an extent, the manufacturers are almost a victim of their own success because they make such a good quality product. You can keep it on the road a lot longer.
And are you seeing, and as I've been looking at automobiles lately, it seems like a lot of semi-autonomous features are sneaking up on us. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, but you're just not hearing about them every day. But as you look at the list of options that are offered, the ability for a car to park itself, for example, mm-hmm. All of the sensors at the front, back, and sides of the vehicles, it seems like we're already on, pardon the pun, the road to autonomous vehicles without them being at this point fully autonomous.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's probably more difficult to find a car that doesn't have some semblance of autonomous vehicle technology than one that does. Lane departure warning systems, self-parking, all the way to, you know, adaptive cruise control or what Tesla has for the autopilot. It's being introduced and implemented and put into vehicles kind of in a gradual manner and for good reason. They want to make sure it works. That's not something you just put out there and hopefully cross your fingers and say, let's just see if this little new option works, and you turn out the adaptive cruise control doesn't and somebody plows into the back of a truck in front of them.
And the net result of this is going to be more safety on the road just because a huge percentage of the accidents are caused by the driver, not by the vehicle.
Correct. The vast, vast majority. In fact, I may screw this statistic up, and it was actually a good friend of mine, Paul Enos with the Trucking Association, during the legislature, we were talking about an autonomous vehicle bill that was working its way through, and it's something along the lines of 95% of the vehicle crashes involve ultimately human interaction or lack thereof.
And, you know, the same would be true of the airline industry.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, that's where, you know, pilot error, sadly, is the cause. It looks as though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but trucks are going to become autonomous before private vehicles. Would that be correct to say that?
No, I think that's absolutely correct. And, you know, you look back a little over a year ago in Colorado, the autonomous vehicle company that's a division of Uber, used a vehicle that was a fully autonomous truck. Of course, a driver was there just in case and delivered a truckload of Budweiser beer to somewhere in Colorado. So it's out there. And that's going to be, I think, a game changer with respect to logistics in this country, because you're going to be able to move so much more.
And as Paulina said on this program, that you're not going to see unemployment because they're still going to need one or two people in that cab to function, to get the stuff in and get the stuff off the truck. So there will be a safety factor there with those folks. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about electric versus gasoline. Okay. We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Andrew McKay. He's the executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, represents auto dealers all across the state. Electric cars are what, about 1% of the cars sold at this point in time?
Just about, slightly less, in fact.
Do you think that we're going to, in this country, be overtaken in terms of sales by, for example, the Chinese or the Indians, rather than us being the leader in this?
For electric vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't. Not anytime soon, particularly as it relates to China, because of the fact that they have so many vehicles and it's such a burgeoning automobile market. It's probably going to overtake the United States just in a matter of years. Quite frankly, the technology from electric vehicles, it's just not there yet. And the ability to have the battery capacity. Now, remember, you know, Tesla is rolling out the Model 3. First ones were delivered on Friday. If all goes according to plan, Elon Musk is going to produce 500,000 Tesla Model 3s. When you're talking about 16.5 million vehicles, it's just a fraction. So will they ultimately take over? And I think the other reason is when you look in terms of from emission standards, they don't exist there for all intents and purposes where they do in the United States. So they don't care if they have a vehicle that may pollute or whatnot.
And it's interesting to see how many of the major U.S. automakers are now involved in producing some form of electric vehicle. I don't think it's going to be that long that Tesla has this, you know, relatively to themselves.
Oh, I don't think they do now, to be totally honest. That's the interesting thing. Everybody talks about Tesla being the electric car manufacturer. Chevy's already beat Tesla to market on a electric vehicle available to the masses, and that's in the form of the Chevy Bolt. That costs less money. So you look at Nissan and they have the Leaf, BMW, they developed an electric vehicle, the Honda Fit, I believe.
Mercedes-Benz.
Everybody is developing the electric vehicles and realize that that's definitely part of their whole product lineup that they're going to have to offer.
And, you know, at some point, we're going to have to deal with taxes, because if you're not buying gasoline, you're not repairing the roads, either federally, locally, statewide.
Exactly. In fact, two bills were introduced last legislative session in Carson City. They didn't end up going anywhere, and they were to deal with that issue of electric vehicles or hybrid electric vehicles that are using the roads. Remember, you know, an electric vehicle oftentimes actually has more wear and tear than a standard automobile because they weigh more because of the batteries. But all things being equal, a sedan that's electric and a gasoline powered sedan have the same effect on the roads and same wear and tear. And the question is, how do you fix it? Is there a surcharge on registration? Is there a vehicle miles taxed?
I think it's going to end up being the way that you pay your toll on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, that they take a photograph of your license and send you a bill. If we're going to do it 50 states independently, because obviously we're going to have to do something about this. These roads are not going to take care of themselves.
No, I mean, I hope we don't go the toll road route.
Not so much a toll road, but instead of having a gasoline tax, to replace a gasoline tax, you have to have some way of tracking it.
Sure.
And, you know, some kind of thing on the vehicle that, you know, if you're going to still tax state to state, county to county, mm-hmm. whatever, that there would be something that would be like a toll meter that would capture your vehicle and then send you a bill, or you would already have it. You know, Uber's got the plan. You give them your credit card. Whenever you use it, that's when the money gets taken out of your account. Potentially the same thing could occur, you know, with a tax.
Oh, I think that could definitely work. And the reality is the technology in most vehicles, they have the ability to communicate via the cloud and transmit that information. The fact of the matter is it seems like this problem, and I hate to use this pun because it's used so much in policy discussions, it's kicking the can down the road. They can't just continue to not grab the bull by the horns, because electric vehicles are here, and there are only going to be more and more of them on the road.
And that's where I have to leave it. Andy McKay, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on with a great Power Pundit panel from our previous show. Fred Locken is here. He is the professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. Mary Lau is president and CEO of the Retail Association in Nevada. And Dory Guy is the former chair of the Democratic Party of Washoe County. And I just wanted to pick up on a point that was just raised in the last show where you guys were talking about the president and foreign affairs. And I just wanted to point out that Nikki Haley, I think, is doing a terrific job. And Rex Tillerson is not only doing a great job, he may be a little too detail-oriented for the way the State Department usually runs, but he was recommended by Jim Baker and Bob Gates. Those are two pretty solid people in the foreign affairs field. So
exactly. Until yesterday, when they did what he wanted him to, he wanted to leave the United Nations and put her there, I think, as window dressing for the administration. And Tillerson, we've been told in numerous articles, is about this close to resigning because he's been disrespected as Secretary of State.
Actually, the New York Times did a major piece on him saying his biggest problem was that he's trying to reorganize the State Department because it's so dysfunctional. It's been dysfunctional for many, many years. And he is actually trying to attack that problem whilst actually acting as the Secretary of State. Let's move on. But I just want to throw that in there. So Dean Heller, Jackie Rosen, where are we with this race at this point in time? And is Dina going to get in?
You know, I really don't think Dina gets in. I'm sort of answering the bottom question first. But there's no reason for her to. She doesn't need that grief. She wouldn't be able to accomplish what she can accomplish in the House because she's got such a good position. Her mother and husband and stuff all of us are older and kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And why does she need to give up the status and the inroads that she has now to become, unless her own words, Senator 100? And stuff.
Actually, 101.
101, okay. But, Jackie and Dean, it's going to be a fascinating race because you've got a legislator that's known and is, you know, either liked or disliked at certain periods of time. It depends on what's going on. And now you're seeing campaign by press release starting to happen. Changing of the subject and changing of the guard stuff. But you see Mitch McConnell turning around, giving him $1 million from the PAC, saying, okay, you're my guy. And that's going to weaken some people for thinking they're going to run against him and do a nasty primary to soften him up for Jackie. So, and Reed's going to be sort of mentoring Jackie. And she's already been during the legislative session. She was up here calling on people from the North and stuff like that. And now rural Nevada, the demographics are changing as far as the constituency out there. So it's going to be a fun race to see. If I write today, right this minute, he squeaks by again.
Dory?
I think Heller's going to have a really good fight on his hands no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, he has lost a lot of his constituents, especially here in northern Nevada's. Republican friends of mine have been really disappointed in him. And it's going to be a good fight. And I think Jackie could give him that fight.
I agree.
Fred?
Spot on. I would fully agree. I think for Dina Titus, she's an example of a lot of elected officials who really need to understand where they kind of fit and belong. And there's always that desire to reach up. But sometimes that's why people sometimes do have a career in the House, because it's the right spot where they can have the level of influence, become the kind of leader that they've wanted to, and deliver on the issues that have always concerned them. This running for higher office a lot of times crashes and burns, and it destroys a lot of political careers. In Titus's case, I think that it would probably increase the likelihood of Heller winning re-election. I think Rosen would be the fresh blood that would be needed for the Democrats. And I think right now, if I were to call it, I think if Rosen gets the nomination, I think she would probably win in a close election, but she would win.
I think Dina is very comfortable with what she's got now. I think there are people who are trying to talk her into running more than she really wants to do it. She's been very effective, and she's been doing a really good job, and I just hope she stays where she's at.
Okay, but, you know, Dina's not being pushed into anything, and she's not being pushed out of anything either. She just did this this poll that showed her with great numbers. And, you know, the last time that Harry Reid tried to push her out of a race was with Ruben Kiwan, and he left and went to Mexico, and she won the seat.
Yes.
So I think that if Dina wasn't still considering it, I think, wouldn't she have come out and said, I'm not considering it?
Oh, I think she is toying with the idea, plus the fact that it's to her advantage to not say I'm considering it, because she can see where the maneuvering is going to be. By the time they're done, it's like playing a game of fish. All the cards are up facing before Dina even has to declare.
I think she also likes the publicity, too. It keeps her name out there amongst
Good
the
point.
People.
Excellent, yeah.
Because there's vying for the control of who's the leader of the state party, and I think that she wants to make sure her name's in that hat.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about changes in rural Nevada. The last time we heard that was when Jill Derby was running for Congress, that she had a shot, and that didn't work out. Do you really think that rural Nevada is moving Democratic?
Oh, I didn't say they're going Democratic. I said the demographic changes. You know, there's a lot more Hispanics in rural Nevada and everything else. So it's still very, very conservative and stuff. But name recognition and the ability to work together is more happening. You know, they're almost getting more moderate.
Rural Nevada's always been a problem, of course, for the Democrats. And I think that's why most of the contestants, if you want to call them that, are out there in the beginning to find out, to feel their way out, to see how people are thinking about them, and is it possible they could run. So,
and we're watching the disappearance of rural Nevada as a political factor, unless it's in the absolute closest of elections. The distribution is already 90% in a handful of counties on the west side of the state, right. And the numbers are not moving in rural Nevada's favor.
It's going to be interesting to watch. Last quick question here. Danny Tarkanian, does he jump in here in a primary against... I'm seeing some rolling of eyes, but I'm not going to say who.
I don't know. He may. You know, he's had some major problems in the past, and a lot of those...
He beat Michael Robeson.
Well, I know, but, you know, I don't know. I think some of his problems will come back to haunt him.
Quick answer, Mary.
He's probably going to jump into Senate.
Yep.
Yes, it has that name recognition. Why would you not want to use that?
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
On our next broadcast, Washoe County Commissioner Kitty Jung.